You know, I was talking a little while ago, the Shadow Attorney General, Justice Minister Jasetski. It was interesting talking also with Linda Cooper about what's happening there at the polling booths, because there's an article in today's Courier Mail that reads thus: Baby boomers are looming as a major X factor in the state election, as experts predict a groundswell of gratitude votes. That's what they're called, gratitude votes flooding to Labor for Anastasia Palaszczuk's handling of COVID-19. Now, the point I was making with Linda before was, with the Shadow Minister Jasetski in studio, particularly talking about LNP policies regarding this tidal wave of juvenile crime up here, wouldn't there be equally a number of baby boomers, if you like, that are very grateful for the focus on the biggest risk they're facing in our town, which is, of course, this bloody tidal wave of crime? So I've got Paul Williams on the line to step us through this now, Senior Lecturer of Politics Journalism, Griffith University. Hello, Paul.
G'day, John.
Which would be the most important to baby boomers up here, the closed borders or the safe houses?
Look, as I said in that, when I gave that comment, my argument was that they'll probably cancel each other out. Mm. And it's a simpler question of arithmetic. Mm. The idea being, and we don't know what the arithmetic is, but yeah, certainly there'd be a constituency who would be grateful for the border closures. There'd be pockets of, there'd be suburbs of crime-ridden suburbs in North Queensland that would be more grateful for the law and order. We just don't know which constituency is greater. We'll just have to wait until Saturday to see, you know, where the numbers fall. My argument is that and this is the nature of public policy in itself and public opinion polls in itself, is that agreed voters tend to make, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So agreed voters tend to make the most noise and they get the most attention. And so often as we saw in the 2019 federal election, there are always pockets, you know, large pockets of silent majority, what we might call silent majority voters, who perhaps aren't picked up by, well, they may be picked up by opinion polls, but they're not picked up by the media cycle, and therefore we're surprised when they vote in large numbers in one particular way or another. Now, this is particularly the case of older voters who are less likely to be off the roll. They're likely to have lived in their residence for a long time, so they're likely to vote. They're always loyal voters. They know what they want usually, and we know that support for the tough border closures is related to both geography and especially age. So older voters are much more predisposed to what I call, it's my term, I'll own it, the gratitude vote. We don't know. That's my anecdotal suspicion after talking to a lot of voters.
Yes.
We'll know after Saturday, but there may well be a groundswell of those who, you know, they don't like the fact the economy's been damaged, but at the end of the day, they are thankful that we're not Victoria.
This is interesting because we've always heard about the quiet Australians and how they can ambush the outcome of an election. We're talking now about the quiet North Queenslanders.
Indeed, absolutely. It's particularly, you know, North Queenslanders are, you know, they go to the polls always with an eye on, you know, we are not Brisbane and we are not Sydney, Melbourne or Canberra. North Queensland often behaves very differently to the rest of the state. And even within North Queensland, different parts of North Queensland will behave differently from the state.
Yeah.
You know, Western Queensland will a few hundred kilometres west of Townsville behave very differently to Townsville. It's a variegated state with lots of interests.
It's interesting to me to see, I think it was 57% response in support of a breakaway state for North Queensland. I'd never seen figures like that before.
Mm, indeed. Look, I have no doubt if the Katter Party wants, if they want to have a referendum on separation from the rest of Queensland, and only those, say, north of Townsville North were allowed to vote, I have no doubt it would have majority. But, of course, that's not going to happen. A, the LNP nor Labor will support it, and B, if it did come to fruition, there's no way that the Parliament would let, because they have to start a piece of legislation in the State Parliament. There's no way the Parliament would let that referendum question be framed or in such a way that only North Queensland could vote. So, you know, constitutionally, the whole of Queensland would have to vote on it.
Exactly. Don't go away. I don't know if you've ever watched, I think it's Channel 83, Sky News. It's very much a right-wing media bastion, if you like. But I was listening to it, I think, last night or the night before, briefly, very late, and Robbie Katter enjoys virtually hero status on that program.
Yeah, look, Robbie Katter is... he's a very good politician. What else can you say? He's very calm and measured in his yes. negotiations with both parties.
Yeah.
He's widely respected inside the parliament and out. Yeah. They love him in his electorate. You know, the Katter name generally is gold in northwest Queensland. So, yeah, there's and, you know, Robbie Katter's, there's no doubt that Robbie Katter's leadership was the catalyst for moving from 2 seats to 3 seats in the 2017 election. So, yeah, Robbie Katter's a widely respected politician. He's just a good politician. You know, it's as simple as that.
Now, the wisdom in the street seems to be that Anastasia Palaszczuk is home and hosed, but what do you believe to be the case and what do the polls believe to be the case?
Well, I wouldn't say home and hosed. It's far too close for that, to make those sorts of predictions. Again, you know, anecdotally, that's what you hear on the ground. But, you know, you've got to look at numbers as well. And we know, we've only seen some marginal seat polling. Seats like Mansfield on the south side of Brisbane, as we might call it, it's almost like a bellwether seat. It's just a middle-class, average middle-class seat, neither rich nor poor. And Aspley on the north side of Brisbane, similarly, it's neither rich nor poor, but it's the kind of seat the LNP must win and used to hold. The LNP used to win these seats easily because they're middle-class seats. And if they can't win them now, it's very difficult to see how their message is getting across the rest of Queensland, even though Brisbane and the north are different. And the LNP does seem to be struggling in Brisbane. And we know the LNP is struggling in North Queensland. Their primary vote's lower than North Queensland. It's in Brisbane. Of course, because the Conservative vote is split between LNP, Katter, One Nation and Clive Palmer. So Labor's not home and host. We know that their primary vote's locked in at 37 each. And it may have moved since then, but we haven't seen any polling otherwise.
Yeah.
But that 52-48 in Labor's favour after preferences is, I think, a very elastic figure. And we shouldn't put too much faith in it. It could easily be 52-48 the other way. Because voters, we know, are becoming increasingly mercurial in their preferences. We know that fewer than half of Australians now follow a how-to-vote card.
Yeah.
We know that One Nation voters are the least likely to follow a how-to-vote card. So voters are spraying their preferences everywhere. And we cannot rule out a hung parliament on Saturday. And we mightn't get a result on Saturday. Again, well, that's different to what we're hearing anecdotally, but
well, exactly.
I think we need to say that.
Well, if it is, a walkover for Labor, what time would we know that result? Would it be by 9 o'clock?
Well, yes. I mean, if it's, you know, go back to the Beattie days, we knew, we had the results at 7:30. Then we could all turn on the footy. you turn over and watch something else. Those days are gone, I think, or at least gone for the time being. You know, we've had between 1915 and 1995, we didn't have a single hung parliament. Since 1995, we've had three, and we could be having a fourth. So the electorate's increasingly volatile, unpredictable. That's down to minor parties, obviously, the growth of minor party vote. And we mightn't get a result on the night. And you can't rule out an LNP minority government at this stage. I think the one thing people are ruling out is LNP majority. It's looking, there are not many pathways to get the LNP into majority. But LNP minority is not out of the question, and certainly Labor minority is not out of the question. I've done several back-of-the-envelope calculations, and one that I can see is it might be the case of Labor losing four seats and picking up one. That means they go from 48 to 45.
Yes.
But the only thing we can say is it won't be a landslide on either side, and it's going to be close.
Well, if they are 45, that brings Robbie Katter into play, does it?
It does, at least the two Greens. You'd expect the two Greens would be, they'd be having coffee with the two Greens on Sunday morning. And that brings them to 47. And then they'd probably be looking at an independent, Sandy Bolton at Noosa, to be admit speaker, or one of the Katter gentlemen to be speaker. But yes, it does bring them. Yes, they'd all be invited for coffee Sunday morning, believe me.
Great to talk to you, Paul. Thank you. Very entertaining as well.
My pleasure.
He's creating a new language. Did you hear that? That was interesting. It was his term, the gratitude vote. That's Dr. Paul Williams, Senior Lecturer in Politics and Journalism at Griffith University. It's